Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. I'll read verse 1 myself. You join me on verse 2, and we'll alternate through that passage. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was one gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to gather together as a church family. Please bless now the preaching of thy word. We'll give you all the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we saw from the passage there, the story here is about a man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, the Bible tells us that he was a man of little stature. That simply means that he was a short individual. He was small. And he heard that Jesus was going to be passing his way. And he wanted to see this man called Jesus. No doubt Zacchaeus had heard lots of stories, lots of things that about the Savior that he just wanted to get an eye full of it for himself. Perhaps he had heard that this Jesus had healed people. Perhaps he had heard that this Jesus had given sight back to the blind, that he had opened deaf ears, that he had caused the lame to walk again. No doubt that Zacchaeus had heard some of these things and said, this individual, if he's passing this way, then I want to get a look at him for myself and to see who this is, who this Jesus is. Well, Zacchaeus, our man in the story here, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. It says in verse 2 there, it says, Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Now a publican, not a republican, but a publican was a tax collector. And if you know anything about tax collectors, even in our own day, I guess, but especially in those days, tax collectors were hated. People didn't like the tax collector. Why? Well, for obvious reasons. Give me the money. so they didn't take too kindly to tax collectors. But that's who Zacchaeus was. He was a tax collector, and he was pretty much disdained by most people. But he heard that Jesus was passing along his way that day where he was. And because he was a man of little stature, he wanted to see Jesus, but knew that he wouldn't be able to see like he wanted to because of the press. Now again, we're not talking about the media and the press, the reporters. We're talking about a crowd. The press means a large crowd. A large crowd. You know what? That's not unusual for our Savior, is it? Anywhere our Lord went, there seemed to be large crowds would show up. Multitudes, great crowds, the Bible would often say, great multitudes would come out to see this man called Jesus. And so Zacchaeus knew he wouldn't be able to get a good look because he was so short. Well, he was thinking outside the box. He said, you know what? I could climb that tree right there. And if I get up on the limb of that tree, I'll have a bird's eye view of this Jesus when he comes along and I'll get to see him. And that's exactly what he did. He climbed up in the tree. And when the Lord came along, he was able to see him clearly. It was only just this morning on the Sunday, on the church bus coming in. I was on the church bus. And I led the song with the children. We almost every week sing it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. The song goes kind of like this. Zacchaeus, it's about this very story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house today. I'm coming to your house today. Now we changed the words a little bit, but that's pretty much just exactly what the scripture said this morning that we read. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He did climb that sycamore tree. He did see the Savior, and the Savior saw him. And the Savior said, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down because I must abide at your house today. And he went on to say that surely this day salvation has come to this house. We'll touch on that here in a minute. But that's the background and the story of this man we call Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19. Well, while Zacchaeus sat on that tree limb, I imagine to myself, what would it be like to sit on the tree limb and to see the very Son of God, the Savior, pass by? What were some thoughts that may have gone through Zacchaeus' mind that day? And the scripture doesn't tell us this, but just in my own thinking, what could he have been thinking? Possibly these are some thoughts that went through his mind. First of all, I think that perhaps Zacchaeus thought this, Jesus sees me. I got up here so I could see him, but he sees me. He identified me. He sees me up here in this tree. You see, Christ sees you, my friend, just as he did Zacchaeus. He sees the very secrets of your thoughts. He sees the thoughts of your mind. He understands the emotions that surge through your heart. Yes, Jesus sees you this morning, and he sees me. Well, yes, he sees us. That could be a disturbing thought for some. It could be a disturbing thought for the lost sinner. You see, Zacchaeus was a lost sinner here in our story. Prior to his interaction or this divine appointment that takes place with the Savior, Zacchaeus is a lost individual. We'll talk about what that means here in a second. But a lost individual, he doesn't know the Savior. He's hated by people. He's in a crooked profession, you might say. He has taken things from people that he shouldn't have taken by his own confession here, which he then restored fourfold. We'll come back to that in a second, but that's his story. That's his background. The fact that the Savior sees him, Zacchaeus, this may have been troubling to Zacchaeus to come face to face with the Savior of the universe, the Messiah, one that no doubt he had heard a lot about growing up in Bible times, in Bible places, understanding that there was a Messiah that was going to come, understanding that, you know, and hearing the stories and hearing of the healings, and hearing of the miracles, that he understood, wow, now I'm face to face with this individual. It could have been a troubling thought for him because he was lost. If you look with me at verse 10, we see the word lost. It says in verse 10, for the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, lost is a church word, it's a Bible word, it's a spiritual word that we use to describe individuals who have no relationship with God. They have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You see, the Bible tells us clearly, this is the message of the Bible, from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible. The whole message of the Bible is this, that Jesus came to earth to die for sinful men. We're all sinful at birth. It's part of our human nature. And Jesus died for the sinful. And when we accept his payment, we accept his death on the cross, and we accept the forgiveness that he offers to us, we accept the gift of eternal life, then we're what we call saved. We're saved from our sins. We're saved from a place called hell. And so there's the lost and there's the saved. So the fact that Jesus sees me could be a troubling thought. Could have been a troubling thought to Zacchaeus as he realized that he was a lost sinner. It could also be a troubling thought to a wayward Christian. You know, even people who do get saved, they trust Jesus as their Savior, call upon Him, He comes into their life, and they become a Christian, sometimes we go wayward. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about Jesus being our great shepherd, the good shepherd. And the illustration was that we're like sheep in His pasture. We talked about how sheep are dumb sometimes. Sheep are helpless. Sheep need the shepherd. Sheep need the protection of the flock. But every once in a while, you get a sheep that kind of wanders and strays away from the flock. And that's just that's picturesque and illustrative of a Christian who gets wayward sometimes. They maybe stop going to church. They stop reading their Bible. They stop following the Lord. And so the fact that Jesus sees me can be a disturbing thought. If I'm a lost sinner, if I'm a wayward Christian, but think of this. The fact that Jesus sees me, friend, can be a very comforting thought. I know that Jesus sees me when I'm having a tough time. I know Jesus sees me when I'm struggling. I know Jesus sees me when I'm hurting, maybe emotionally. Jesus sees me when I've lost my spouse, or Jesus sees me when I've lost a loved one. Jesus sees me when I'm having financial difficulty. Jesus sees me when I've lost my job. Isn't that a comforting thought then? That Jesus knows right where I'm at. He sees me. He knows the very hair on my... Don't say that. I keep forgetting not to use that one there. He knows my name. He knows where I live. He knows all about me. He knows when I'm struggling. He knows when I'm hurting. He sees me when I'm crying. Now that's a comforting thought. Jesus sees me. And so that's our first point this morning, that what are some thoughts that might be going through Zacchaeus' mind as he's sitting up on that tree limb, he's looking down on the ground, here comes the Savior. And his first thought may just have been, Jesus sees me. Why does he say that? Because Jesus called out to him. He identified him and called his name. But secondly, not only did he think, perhaps, Jesus sees me, he thought this. Jesus knows me. Could these have been some thoughts that Zacchaeus was thinking up in that tree? Jesus sees me, but also Jesus knows me. Jesus knew his name and called it out. Let's go back to our text here and take a look at it. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. He saw Zacchaeus and said unto him, Zacchaeus, as he called his name, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So not only did Zacchaeus perhaps thought Jesus sees me, but he knows me. As I just mentioned, Jesus knows all about me. He knows all about you. Again, that could be troubling, I guess, if we're not doing the right thing. He knows all about it. But assuming that we're doing the right thing, it's good that Jesus sees us. He knows us. He knows our name. He knows our address. He knows all about us. He knows me. Because he knows me, I want to be honest in prayer. When I come to the time in my morning when I bow my knee and Or maybe just sit and have that quiet time with the Lord and just pray. You know, that's no time to put on the dog. That's no time to try to impress the Lord with some flowery words that try to impress Him. It's not the time to It's not the time to be dishonest. I guess I'll use that word. Why? Because the Lord knows me. And He knows what's in here. He knows me better than I know myself. And so when I come to the Lord in prayer, you know what? I just need to be honest. And just be honest with the Lord. And say, Lord, I don't always do what you think I should do. I don't know, I'm not perfect. You know that already, Lord. There's no sense me trying to come like holier than thou and all right, Mr. Righteous. No, because I'm not. Yes, Lord, I'm saved, but I'm a saved sinner. I still struggle with an old nature that fights against you and your ways. Lord, I appeal to your mercy. And I thank you for your grace. And thank you so much that I'm even talking to you because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that gives me access to the throne of grace. If it wasn't for that, we couldn't even talk to God. Well, he knows me, so I must be honest in my prayer time. For that reason, he knows me. He knows what's in my mind. He knows what's in my heart. He knows when I'm playing games. And so I might as well come in prayer and just be honest as I can be. Because he knows me. He knows me very well. Not only should I be honest in my prayer time, but I should be honest in my living. Because God knows my life, because he knows my thoughts and my heart, then I might as well just be honest in my living. And some people would say, well, since he knows all about me, he knows how I am, I might as well just go ahead and live sinful. No, I don't mean that. I mean, because he knows me, I should live as holy as I know he expects me to live. Try to do that as honest as I can. Because he knows me. God knows your life. He sees it all. We should live honestly before him. So perhaps Zacchaeus was thinking, Jesus sees me. He actually sees me. And he knows me. I wonder how he knows me. I never met him before. Jesus knows everything. He called him by name. He said he knows me. But thirdly, he may have thought this. And this is beautiful. Jesus loves me. Wow. Jesus, looking down from the tree, he might have thought, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Jesus loves you and I. That would have been, will I use the word novel to Zacchaeus? Let's go back to his profession, a tax collector, and a dishonest one at that, hated by most people. Did he have family? The Bible's silent about that. I don't know. Was he married? I don't know. Did he have children? I don't know. If he was, perhaps his spouse loved him, perhaps his children loved him, but society, tax collectors, don't want anything to do with him. He didn't understand much about love, perhaps. But what an overwhelming feeling it must have been at that time when his eyes met the Savior. He said, look, he sees me. He knows me. He's like, he's looking into my very soul. He knows me. What does he think next? Oh, he actually loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me and he loves you. There may be people in this world that don't care for you. There may be people in this world that hate you. And I guess that's to be expected to some degree. But I know this, that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he loves me. And he loves you. Amen. In most people's homes, Zacchaeus wasn't welcome. Again, he was hated. But when Zacchaeus caught the gaze of Jesus, there was something that wooed him to the Savior. And when Jesus said, come down out of the tree, he quickly came down out of the tree. And Jesus went then to his home. There was something in the gaze of the Lord that touched the heart of Zacchaeus. And it wooed him to the Savior. And that's such a beautiful picture because that's exactly what the Lord did to us, those of us that are saved, that understand Jesus Christ as our Savior. There was something about the Lord that wooed us to him. The Bible tells us that he draws us to himself. I'm so glad he loves me, Brother Joe. If you think about the love of Jesus Christ long enough, and it just should bring tears to your eyes. It should just melt your heart. Man, as rotten as I am, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so Zacchaeus says, wow, this Jesus, he sees me, he knows me, he loves me. In spite of my unloveliness, he loves me. Amazing. It's an amazing thought. Well, what else? Well, next perhaps he thought this. Jesus wants me. He sees me, he knows me, he loves me. Now, Jesus wants me. Because Jesus said, come down, I'm coming to your house today. Oh, Jesus wants me to come down. He actually wants me to come down. He wants to come to my house, he wants me. He rushed down out of the tree. With haste, he went down and he led Jesus to his house, to his home. But why does Jesus want you and I? Because he wants us too. This is all a story, we're applying it to us today. Why does Jesus want me? Why does he want you? Well, he wants me, first of all, to glorify him. Jesus wants me to glorify him. And nothing glorifies Jesus more than a transformed life. Is your life transformed this morning? It should be. If we know the Lord is our Savior, we should be experiencing a transformed life. And nothing brings glory to him more than a transformed life. Not only does Jesus want me to glorify him, he wants me to serve him. Since I've been saved 36 years ago, I trusted Christ as my Savior. If he didn't want me to serve him, he would have taken me to heaven right then. But since I'm still here, I'm sucking air, I'm still living on God's green earth, there's something he wants me to do. There's something he wants you to do, friend. If you're saved this morning, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He wants you to serve him. And so he wants us to serve. There's something that we can do for him. What else does he want me for? He wants me to love him. You know, God wants to be loved by mankind. I guess I'm kind of glad that God didn't program us as robots. Walk around. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Better watch how close I get here. Yes, Lord, I love you. I'm kind of glad that's not the way, because I sure wouldn't want my wife saying, yes, honey, I love you. I'm kind of glad that she loves me because she wants to love me. And I think you'd feel the same way. I think the Lord wants us to love him, but he wants us to want to love him. He doesn't make us love him, but he sure does want us to love him. And I do love him. I love him for what he's done for me. I love him for how he's transformed my life. See, 36 years ago, I never like to tell this story much, but 36 years ago, I was a rock and roll freak. And all that goes with that, and I'll just leave it at that. Drugs and alcohol. Jesus came into my life and cleaned me up. Amen? Now, only he can do that. I sure couldn't do that. But because he's done that for me, he cleaned me up, set my feet on a solid rock, forgave me of all my sins. How could I not say out of a thankful heart, Lord, I love you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for giving me a home in heaven. Thank you for giving me a book that brings comfort to my life. Thank you for all that you've done for me. I want to serve you. I want to love you. Well, lastly, what's another thought that Zacchaeus may have had? Perhaps, well, this isn't a thought. He said this. Perhaps he said this. So he was thinking, Jesus sees me. He's thinking, oh, Jesus knows me. Jesus loves me. Jesus wants me. Now he said, Jesus can have me. Jesus can have me. Do you remember the day that you got saved? Of course you do. Hope you do. I hope you remember it like yesterday. The day you asked Jesus into your heart. Wasn't that a wonderful experience? Not that it's experiential, wasn't that wonderful to say, to feel the load of sin lifted, to say, Lord, you're my Savior now? Just a moment ago, I was on my way to a Christless hell, eternity. Now, moments later, I've turned the other direction. Now I'm following the Lord. I've trusted Him as my Savior. Now I'm going this direction. I was headed for hell. Now I'm headed for heaven. Wow. How amazing that is. How amazing that can take place in our lives. But I said that day, Jesus, you can have me. You can have me. It was kind of neat. I had the privilege of being led to the Lord by my father. And I think I've told you this story before, but I was going to West Virginia University. I was studying mechanical engineering. And as a part-time job, I worked at a gas station that was right in the center of campus. Busy, busy gas station. Mainly students would frequent there. Getting gas, getting tire changes, repairs, all kind of stuff. The phone was always ringing, even till the gas station closed at 10 at night. I worked a night shift. Went to school at day, worked at night. So we'd close at 10, and right up until 10 o'clock, I mean, boom, boom, gas customers, it was just busy, busy, busy. Phone ringing. Hey, can you change my oil? Not this time of night, no. busy, busy. And God had placed a coworker there that was a Christian. And I was not a Christian. As I said, I was doing different things. And he began to witness to me, and God began working on my heart. And after a few nights of this, it was night after night, we would discuss the Bible and salvation and religion and so on. And I remember that, I remember as if it was yesterday. Frank sat down, he would wear his tennis shoes to work and then put his work boots on. And he'd leave at 8 o'clock, I'd stay till 10 and close up. So at 8 o'clock came, he sat down to change his shoes again, put his boots off and shoes back on, tennis shoes back on. And we were in the midst of this discussion about Christianity and Jesus and so forth. And he was tying his shoes, boots, or tennis shoes. He looked up at me and he said, Kelly, he finished tying it. Kelly, and he stood up. He said, we could talk about religion forever. It's an endless topic. He said, but what you need to understand is this. If you die in your sins without Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. And that was like a boom, right between the eyes. You know, it just kind of shell-shocked me. He stuck his hand out and said, I'll see you tomorrow. And he took off. That's what he left me with, right? He left me with, you're going to go to hell. That busy gas station, for the next 2 hours, get this now, I'm not making this up, it may sound like I am, but for the next 2 hours, the phone did not ring, and not one person came for gas. And on the one side of the station, there was, you know, of course, big plate glass windows. One side was out, there was full service pumps, there's not many of those these days, but we used to go out and actually pump the gas for people and check their oil and check their tires and clean their windshields. That goes back to Mayberry, doesn't it? And on the other side of the gas station was some self-service pumps. And we had a counter there because you had to activate the pump when people were there. You had to turn it on for them and that sort of thing. Not like today, much different, but I was there like this on that counter just staring out into nowhere. Phone's not ringing. Nobody's coming. It was like God said, well, Kelly, it's just you and me. Boy, I hung my head, I began to weep. But I didn't know what to do. He didn't tell me how to get saved, but I knew I wanted to be saved. And I didn't know how to get a hold of Frank. Suddenly, in my mind, I remembered my dad had been witnessing to me for the last 2 years, trying to talk to me about Jesus. I didn't want to hear it. So I wiped my eyes and went over and grabbed the phone, rotary phone, oh, yeah, hello? Hi, Dad. Man, I'm holding it together best I can. He goes, hey, Kel. He called me Kel. Hey, Kel, what's going on? I don't know. Well, he knew then. He said, what are you crying for? What's going on? Are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. He said, well, what's going on? Tell me what's happening. Why are you crying? Here's my words. I just want to be saved. Then he went silent. Because he's crying now. So much so that I said, Dad, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
He said, come over. I said, I can't. I gotta close up. How much long? He said, when you close? I said, 10. He said, well, come over at 10. I said, okay. I'm like wiping the tears, snot. Come over at 10. I said, okay, I'll be over. And I said, I'll see you then. I get ready to hang up. No, wait. He said, promise me you'll come. I said, yeah, I'll be there. He said, no, promise me. I said, I promise. He said, because between now and 10, the devil will talk you out of it. And that's so true. I could have found every reason why, oh, well, that was just an emotional thing. I feel better now. I think I'll just go home. No, that's how the devil works. I said, well, I promise I'll be there. So 10 o'clock came, counted the till, put the money in the safe, locked the doors, got on my motorcycle, and drove to my dad's house. We sat down at the kitchen table. He brought this old black book out. He began to show me, Brother Joe, I was a sinner. That there's a penalty on our sin before a righteous God, a holy God. And that penalty is a place called hell. I didn't like the sounds of that. But the story became really good after that. He said, but Jesus Christ died in your place. That's why he came. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him, he extends to you a gift of eternal life. You understand that this morning? God in heaven extends to each of us a gift of eternal life. Live forever with him in heaven. Many people reject it for many, many reasons. It's too good to be true. Oh, that's too easy. Surely there's something I've got to do. I have to work my way there. I've got to do a lot of things, I'm sure. I've got to count a lot of beads. I've got to climb, 1,000 stairs or whatever. I've got to beat my back with whips until I bleed, trying to earn my way to heaven. These are all things that actually exist out there in the world today. No, Jesus just simply said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so my dad showed me all that. He said, well, Kelly, because I've shown you the scripture, Jesus wants to receive you. Are you willing to receive him? I said, yes, I am. And I bowed my head at the kitchen table of my dad's place and prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior. That was 30-some years ago. What was I doing? I said, yeah, Lord, you can have me. You've been chasing me. I knew God wanted me to be saved. And my father had been praying for me for 2 years. Now he saw his prayer answered. Now I did finally turn away from my sinful lifestyle and come to the Savior and receive him as my Savior. That was a wonderful day in my life. That was a wonderful day in Zacchaeus' life. Let's just look at the scripture here before we close one more time. We'll start in verse 5 again. This is really beautiful how it says it. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. He saw Zacchaeus. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, look at this next phrase, and received him joyfully. I believe that was the moment of salvation for Zacchaeus. He received him joyfully. John 1:12 tells us this, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. As many as believed on his name. And so I believe that was the moment of salvation for Zacchaeus. And then we see the evidence of it. We'll see it here in a second, but when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, guess what I did the next day? Well, first of all, I told my family. I told my mom, I told my brother, I told my sister. I wasn't ashamed of it. I said, hey, I got saved yesterday. But the next thing I did, I went to the cupboard and got that bottle down the drain. And that was the last I touched of it. I went in my car, in my glove box. I had this little kit with a little drug pipe and things in it. And I took that and I threw it in the recycle dumpster, threw that away. The last time I touched it. And that's not bragging on me, folks. That's just saying the Lord does things like that in a life. He changes us, gives us new desires. He makes us thankful for what we have in Him. But what I started to say was, when salvation comes, there ought to be a transformation. There ought to be something different. There ought to be evidence of the salvation. Well, we see it in the life of Zacchaeus here, because look what he said to the Lord. End of verse 5, he said, Jesus said, I must abide at thy house. Verse 6, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. Who's they? All the crowd, all the people who saw this interaction. When they saw it, they said, he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. They said, that Jesus, he went to Zacchaeus' house. Can you believe it? That old dirty, rotten tax collector? Jesus? Yeah, you know why? Jesus is the friend of sinners. He loves sinners. Verse 10 says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? That was you and I. He came to seek us and to save us. But watch, we didn't get to where I wanted to see it. Verse 8. Here's the evidence that Zacchaeus must have been saved at that point. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. So first we see Zacchaeus became a giving individual. Look here, before he was like this. Where's the money? You owe the tax. Put it right there. Where's the money? Come on. Pay up, pay your taxes, or I'm going to throw you in prison. Pay the tax. Give me that money. One for the tax, one for me, one for the tax, two for me. One. He was crooked. Get it? But now he said, Lord, I've given half of all I have. I'm giving it to the poor. Evidence of salvation. What was the next thing he said? This is what I like. Same verse, just a little further on. He said, I've given half to the poor. Then he says, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, if I've cheated anyone, I'm going to restore it to them fourfold. Wow. Now, folks, you don't do that unless something has happened right in here. Salvation. And what Jesus say then? Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. I believe that Zacchaeus was saved at that point, and we see the evidence of it. Well, some thoughts, possible thoughts from a tree. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He wanted to see the Savior. He climbed up into a sycamore tree. When the Savior passed that way, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. And Jesus went to the house of a sinner. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves sinners? Aren't you glad that Jesus saved sinners? Amen. I'm so glad he saved this old sinner. Because he did, I want to give myself to him. I want to serve him. I want to bring glory to his name. I want to love him. Because he saved me. You would be wise, like Zacchaeus, to follow Jesus. That's a decision that you'll just never regret, friend. To follow the Savior. To give yourself to him. Either for salvation, to just simply surrender, say, Lord, I know I need to be saved. And there's only one way to heaven. It's by Jesus. Buddha's not going to save us. Muhammad's not going to save us. Zoroaster's not going to save us. Only Jesus can save us. And we need to give ourselves to him. Great decision you'll never regret.